This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
UConn wins back to back. They beat Purdue 75-60. Second straight year winning a national championship. Just remarkable.
I'm just laughing because Dan Hurley let it be known in the post-game presser that this is one of the most dominant, most impressive two-year runs that has ever happened. Like, isn't that for us to talk about? You usually don't hear the coach saying that in the moment.
He's right.
But Dan Hurley doesn't back off of it. He marches to the beat of his own drum, and I think that's part of what endears him to his players in his locker room, that he has such a conviction on his beliefs and gets everybody in the program, everybody associated with UConn's men's basketball, to buy into it.
He said this earlier in the tournament, that this team was bulletproof. How many coaches come out and say that during the tournament?
None. Nobody does.
You don't want to give the other team bulletin board material. If you lose, then obviously that's the headline, that you called your team bulletproof and somebody else beat them. You're adding fuel to the haters' fire. And he did that knowing that nobody could beat them. He did that knowing that this team was, in fact, that dominant and they were going to cut down another net at the end of this thing. And he was absolutely right.
There is a Jim Harbaugh-esque quality about Dan Hurley, isn't it? Like, he's just coming
quirky,
out and saying these things
swag
that aren't necessarily popular, but he's going to speak his truth
swag,
and he doesn't care about it. Like, exactly. It is a different type of swag, but nonetheless, it's a persona that plays well when it comes to, you know, this generation of athlete, and particularly the kids that he brings into his program. They believe in this dude.
Big time.
They believe in him. And you saw that belief manifest itself in the way that this team was able to adjust on the fly in last night's championship game. You're talking about the two teams pulling even midway through the first half, and then UConn puts their foot on the gas. Dan Hurley makes some adjustments on the offensive end. They go with a lot of screen and roll actions, put Zach Edey in a blender, get a two-on-one downhill attacking the rim, and that's all she wrote. Like, you saw that UConn took control of that game late in the first half, and they didn't relent. Your team doesn't respond in that moment unless they have the utmost respect and confidence in the head coach. And it's clear that this group has that belief in Dan Hurley.
They play so hard for him. They play so smart for him also. I mean, that's another part of it. 23-all, Zach Edey goes out. They go right to Donovan Klingon. They know exactly what to do with their 7'2" center without the 7'4" center against him. Three-point play, take that lead. They go up 6 at the half. And in the second half, even in those small moments where Purdue's trying to get back in the game, full court press. Danny Hurley doesn't have to call a timeout. You know how many coaches call a timeout when they see the full court press for the first time? He doesn't need to. They run a perfect play. They get in their half court set and run a backdoor play. Easy. When they're up double digits late, these guys know when they get an offensive rebound, you don't go back up with it. You use the clock again. They just do everything right, and they are so smart at what they do. And I believe Danny Hurley is right in what he said, in that it is arguably more impressive than Duke and Florida in the last two back-to-backs, because this is a completely different team. This is not the same team back-to-back. Florida, I was living in Florida at the time. They were rock stars, okay? Torian Green, Lee Humphrey, Corey Brewer, Al Horford, Joakim Noah. Those are three NBA players for a decade plus with their entire front line. They were awesome in college. They came back for a junior year. They won a championship. They still had a year left. They did not use that year. They went to the pros. Two of them lottery picks. Or, no, three of them lottery picks, excuse me, with Brewer. Duke, Leitner, Hurley, Grant Hill. I mean, the same group. This is not the same group.
No.
I don't even know. Like, maybe Donovan Klingon has the best chance of long-term success in the NBA. Maybe Jordan Hawkins. Maybe Andre Jackson Jr. from last year. Maybe if you think some of the other guys on this year's team. But, like, this is a group of great college players coached by the best college coach in America, winning twice in a row, Smalls.
Yeah, and the fact that we don't have that one person that we can say is the face of all of this, I think, makes it even more impressive.
No doubt. The face of ESPN reporting and news and information on the football side, of course, is Adam Schefter. He joins us each and every week, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Adam. And he joins us here on Unsportsmanlike. Got to start off with this. How was the Olivia Rodrigo concert? I know you went to it. How was it, Adam?
Well, where do I begin on that one? Holy cow. I walked in, and I think, how many people does Madison Square Garden hold?
Like 20,000?
17,000?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I would say I was one of about 11 males there at that concert. I had no idea that I was going to be outnumbered the way I was. Like, wow. It was quite a night, quite an experience. You know, I took my daughter to Taylor Swift last year as well. And that was something that I really loved. Not that I didn't love Olivia Rodrigo. It was an enjoyable night. But Taylor Swift was something that I think everybody enjoyed. This was a younger face show, I guess. I don't know how to say it. It was quite an experience.
So, Adam, if we're power ranking our pop princesses, you're going to put Taylor Swift over Olivia Rodrigo?
Yeah, we put Taylor Swift at the top of the list, period. Like, that was an unbelievable performance that she put on, so much so that we watched her concert on, you know, Disney Plus or ESPN or Hulu, whatever it is that we her concert's on. That was a different concert in L.A., and 3.5 hours, worth watching that again, and she is incredible at what she does. She's an unbelievable performer, so she is number one, yes. And then I don't know who we put it to, because I've only taken my daughter and her friends to those two concerts the last 2 years. So, you know, Olivia's too, then, I guess, right? I don't have anybody above them. Those are the two shows we've seen.
All right, so just so we're clear here, because obviously Adam's words are very important. So Taylor Swift would be Brady and Rodrigo is Mahomes, or we're not having Rodrigo at the Mahomes level yet?
No. Taylor Swift would be Brady, and Olivia Rodrigo would be, I would say, Will Levis.
Oh, oh. Wow.
Will Levis. Wow.
So, I mean, she could be good,
but
right?
But quite the disparity. Yeah. Quite the disparity.
She is good. She is good, but she's not there yet. You know, that's all.
Okay.
Okay, well, speaking of quarterbacks who could be great, ascending to being great, what's the latest, Adam, that you're hearing about quarterback stock rising or dropping as we get closer to the draft? Whose name should we be paying attention to?
Well, here's the thing, right? Nothing's happened, and so yet stocks rise and fall off of what people are just saying. And that's sort of how this works all the way up until the draft. And when you look at it, if you do, there are quarterbacks every year that are talked about. The aforementioned Will Levis, we talked about him last year going in the top 5-10 picks. Where did he go? In round two. So sometimes these guys, Malik Willis dropped to round three. A Brady Quinn was projected as a top 5 pick. Didn't go there. I mean, this always happens. So there's somebody that usually slides. Geno Smith is another one. Saying all that, I still think we're getting 3 quarterbacks in the top 3 picks. I think we're getting 4 quarterbacks in the top 10 picks. And then the question becomes, you know, are we getting a 5th and a 6th quarterback in round 1 somewhere? And I would say that the chances are we get at least one of them in round 1 as a 5th with the possibility of a 6th.
Shefty, we saw the news over the weekend being reported by our very own Jeremy Fowler that the Atlanta Falcons were bringing in Michael Penix Jr. for a workout pre-draft. Now, everybody assumed that Atlanta was out on taking a quarterback early in this draft because they just gave Kirk Cousins a bag. But how real is the interest from the Falcons in looking at a quarterback with an early pick in this draft?
Well, I actually think they like Michael Penix. Do I think they're going to take him at 8? I don't. I don't think that's going to happen. Could they trade back in the draft and take a look at him? Yeah. Could they decide to trade back up if they don't feel like he's going to be there in round 2? Yeah. Do they like him that much that they're willing to give up? We'll find out. But I definitely think they're intrigued by him. I definitely think they like him. And if you go back and look at the Falcons, they really haven't had a 2, no less a 1, the last few years that they've depended on, you know, from the time that Matt Ryan left there. It's been one guy after another. They had Desmond Ridder, they had Marcus Mariota, they had Taylor Heineke. They've tried all of them. None of them have gotten it done. And so I think they're probably looking at it like, hey, if we get a chance to get a guy that we really like, which it seems like they like him, then you lock up that position. I know Kirk Cousins got a 4-year contract, but that gives you, if you take Michael Penix in round 1, and again, I don't think they take him at 8, I don't think, that would give you 5 years with the guy. So, you know, that would be a nice way to break him in, train him under Kirk Cousins. And if he really hits and is successful, you'd be in a position in a couple of years to move on Kirk Cousins if that's what it takes. but we're getting way ahead of ourselves. I do think they're interested. I do think they like him. I'd be surprised if they took him at 8.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, of course, always sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with an online therapist, licensed therapist. Go to BetterHelp.com/Adam, and you'll probably see him at a Billie Eilish concert near you soon. Adam, in terms of Adam, you broke the story about Steph Diggs getting traded to the Texans, what, a week ago at this point. Are there other players we should be keeping an eye on that potentially could get traded before the draft here?
Well, you've got on the franchise tag, T. Higgins, who still wants to be traded and would like to be traded. Now, whether he's actually going to be traded is another situation. Cincinnati would rather keep him, but he's going to be not thrilled about not getting the contract that he wants. The two sides haven't had any meaningful discussions, at least as of recently. Maybe they did a short time ago. That would be somebody that I think if teams want to take a run that they could. You know, the Niners at some point in time will be in a position where it'll be tough to keep both their wide receivers. Those wide receivers like Brandon Ayuk to see if they could pry him loose from San Francisco, which has been pretty clear that it doesn't want to trade him. We'll see how that works out. There's always some trades. If you remember DeAndre Swift being traded on day 3 of the draft last year, guys going into the last year of their contract, there's always a few moves that are made like that. And I'm sure there'll be that type of activity again this year. But, you know, like I had somebody yesterday texting Mike Trout, hey, could the Eagles trade for Micah Parsons? Mike, go back to playing basketball. No, that's not happening. Come on. Let's stop that. But the Cowboys are not trading Micah Parsons for all this speculation that they're unhappy with him recently. Come on.
Did you say that Mike Trout texted you that?
Every day. Every day, football questions.
Really? What's the question today?
Well, hasn't been waiting yet, but he's on the West Coast, so I'm sure it's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What about yesterday? What did
he say? Said Micah Parsons.
But that was yesterday?
That was Mike Trout's question.
That was yesterday.
That was not a question from somebody on Twitter. That's Mike Trout, legendary diehard Eagles fan, trying to get Micah Parsons
I love
to the
that.
Eagles.
Mike from Anaheim?
Yeah. Exactly.
Mike from Anaheim weighing in.
Say, what's going on with Micah? They don't like him? Send him to Philly. And I'm like, not quite.
I love that.
Chef, the Rashi Rice finds himself in a whole lot of legal trouble after the hit and run that he had in Dallas a couple of weekends ago. Curious what people in NFL circles are saying about what the Chiefs' draft plans are and how they could be impacted by what's going on with Rashi Rice.
Well, I think the Chiefs probably would be looking at wide receiver anyway, were it not for the Rashi Rice situation. Now, remember, they did sign Marquise Brown in free agency, and that looks like it's going to be an important, significant pickup for them. So I still think that they would have looked to have added another wide receiver. I don't think it changes their plans that dramatically. I really don't. I don't think it's like, okay, well, Rashi Rice faces potential discipline. If he's disciplined, we'll see. If he goes to the I have no idea what's going to happen here. But we're going to now bump up the wide receivers on our board. That they're not going to do that. When they're sitting there at 32, if there's a wide receiver that they loved, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, whoever it would be at that spot in time that they like, that they have a high grade on, that it matches the pick that they have and the value they have on, I think that they have no problem taking a wide receiver. They'd like to add one, but they're not going to force it because of what happened with Rashi Rice down in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. So it's the kind of situation that it plays out. Like, there are other things they need, too. They need offensive linemen. Mm. They could use a left tackle. We don't know who's going to be protecting Mahomes' blind side. So what if there's a left tackle? And now, you know, the earliest you get a wide receiver would be round 2. So they're going to be looking, but it's all a question of where the value is in the draft when their turns come along.
Shefty, great job as always. We appreciated all the insight on Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo,
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout. I mean, this was phenomenal, Adam.
When is Billie Eilish playing? Because I do got to be aware for that one.
We got to get you Billie Eilish tickets. That's it. We're getting Adam and his daughter Billie Eilish tickets next time.
Hey, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. I got a 15-year-old ninth grade girl. So you get me tickets to whatever concert you think that a 15-year-old ninth grade girl wants to go to, and I'm happy to take her. And then we'll tell you how the power rankings go and where she fits in between Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo.
Perfect. Done and done, Adam. Thank you so much. Amazing. We appreciate it.
Tell Mike Trout we said hey.
There is Adam Schefter, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with licensed therapists. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Adam. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Of course. Legs, we just have brand new open for Legs. He didn't hear it.
Nope. I got no sound. Unbelievable.
Really,
I don't know what
so
was
good.
Going on.
It really
I
was
listening to something. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm out.
Yeah. Tim Legler is here, America's analyst.
Can you hear me? They hear me? That's the most important
thing. I think so.
Right. We can hear you. Right. I don't know if they're listening to you.
Okay, there you go. That's a different thing.
Wow. White man can't jump reference. I like it.
There you go.
I knew. I picked up on that.
It sounds like I'm at home when you say something like that.
All right, Legs, before we get into the national championship in the NBA, the eclipse yesterday, you were very bothered that your wife did not get you the glasses.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty anticlimactic around here, right? No?
I watched it. It was cool, but I don't really think it was like the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I saw like 1,000 people out in the little courtyard area by the hotel, and I went up to my room and I pulled the curtains back so I could kind of see outside. And at no point did it look remotely different. So I just, you know, okay, I missed this one. I'll catch the next one.
Yeah. In 20 years?
Yeah, 20 years from now.
It looked different when you had the special glasses on.
Right. I didn't look up there or anything, but, you know, I was waiting for it to get darker, and it really didn't.
Okay. All right. How would you describe what UConn's done over the last 2 years?
Oh, man, I think they have they've done something that is going to be very, very difficult for any other program to replicate. To be able to replenish your entire roster basically from 1 year to the next and to be able to get guys to play exactly how you want them to play is a very difficult thing to pull off. The thing that stood out to me last night more than anything else, now we all know there was a game plan there, obviously, to, you know, kind of play Edey one-on-one and take away the three-point shooting of Purdue because that was their formula all year. But I've seen in the course of my life in basketball how many times teams have come up with a game plan, you know, stay home with shooters, no help responsibility, face guard shooters, don't leave shooters. And you know what happens? As soon as a team scores three times in the paint, there's an overreaction defensively to it. And guys, because your player instincts are to go to the paint to help when you see your team getting scored on in the paint. So your game plan breaks down quickly when you're getting beat up in the lane. They stayed with it despite the early success of Edey. I have never seen a team that disciplined on the perimeter in taking away three-point shooting the way that Connecticut did last night. And you will never see another box score like Purdue put up last night. You think about modern basketball, the era of three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. They had one made three in the game. Mm-hmm. And one player on their team had an assist, which speaks more to the limited versatility of some of their players and their system to have like a counter, another way to play. They didn't really have it. And UConn's versatility and size of their guards really stood out in that, in bothering Purdue and their inability to do anything off the dribble. But you're not going to see modern basketball. Come on, one made three in a game, in any game. Yeah. You can go to an 8-year-old basketball game tomorrow. They're going to make more than one three in the game. I mean, one for a team that relies on it. It's incredible execution and discipline on the part of UConn defensively.
Tim, so with all of that being said, is Dan Hurley the best coach in men's college basketball?
Yeah, I think he is. And it's not just, look, it's so easy to say it when a guy wins two national championships. For a guy like myself that's watching every night and watching games, I'm looking at it differently. And because I was a coach, I love to watch it as a coach, what they do, what they run, the purpose behind their movements offensively. Everything they do has a purpose in what you're trying to accomplish on either end of the floor. So that's why I say that he is. And the fact that, you know, look, obviously he's an intense guy. I mean, you know, you're not going to see too many people exhibit overtly that level of intensity the entire time. It works for his team. And it, as a result, they are more able to stay tuned in to what, to the message that he's given them and stay that discipline, because he never, ever misses anything. He sees 10 players at the same time all the time, and that's what it takes for a guy on this level. That's what it takes to win championships. You have to be have an attention to detail that other people just can't quite match, and that's what Danny Hurley has done. Obviously, he's a great recruiter, too. He recruits kids that come in willing to sacrifice individual things for the betterment of the team. I didn't realize this. Seth Greenberg just had a great stat on Get Up. They didn't have a single guy in the entire tournament score more than 22 points in a game. I mean, think about that. That's just, you know, to make deep runs in the tournament, usually have one or two guys are going to have to probably go for 25, 30 at some point. They didn't have a single guy get more than 22 points. That speaks to the guys he's recruiting and what they're willing to sacrifice to win.
Could that translate at the NBA level? Do you think Danny Hurley could be a great coach at the NBA level?
I think it'd be a little bit more difficult, because he'd have to change his demeanor and his approach to how he communicates with players. Because that guys can say all they want to, that they want that brought out in them. The bottom line is, you got grown men in there making a lot of money, and they're not gonna relate to that. And so I think he is tailor made to mold young players, 18-year-olds coming into his program. It's much easier to be able to communicate with them the way that he does and get that kind of response. That, I think that would be harder at the NBA level. Clearly, he has the mind for it. Mm-hmm. The temperament and the communication with that level of player, a little bit more difficult to pull off.
We're talking with Tim Legler, America's analyst, of course, NBA analyst for ESPN, obviously. Let's have you weigh in on this, since you are America's analyst and you follow all sports. Best six title run of the last 25 years: Alabama football, UConn basketball, the Patriots, or the Lakers? And it's crazy, by the way, the thing that we have like been startled about all show long is that you can actually group UConn in there with those teams, considering how much we talk about Alabama football, the Patriots, the Lakers. UConn has won as many titles as they have over the last 25 years.
Man, I don't know. I might go Patriots for me. Mm-hmm. I might go Patriots. It's the nature of the sport.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, injuries being such a big factor in the NFL. You know, the turnover with your roster in the NFL, harder than ever.
Hard salary cap.
So the hard cap, I think that's probably – now, you know, you did have that one greatest of all-time player at the most important position in sports helps have a guy that long. But still, I think the nature of the sport – and UConn's, you know, spread out longer. Three different coaches, I believe, win six titles over 25 years. A little bit different than, like, the Patriots over, you know, that 20-year period with basically same coach, same quarterback. To be able to do that by reinventing who's around them, to me, that's probably the most impressive.
Yeah, Tim, but, I mean, you just pointed it out about UConn, different coaches, different players. I mean, that's what separates them from all of the teams, all of the dynasties that Evan just alluded to. So my question to you is, who's the face of the six championships over 25 years for UConn? Who's the face of the program?
Man, that's a good one. I think it's morphing from Calhoun into Hurley, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a great picture, photo op of them last night after the game.
Yeah.
Caught them both on camera, and I thought to myself, because Calhoun was the guy that I always identified with UConn.
No
doubt. It was never the players. It was always the coach, and that's typical for college programs, right? In the NBA, it's more about the player. In college, it's more about the coach. When you think of a program, you think of the coach. I think it's now morphing into Danny Hurley, right? It's becoming his. Because I don't see, you know, of course, assuming he stays there, I don't see this really changing anytime soon. Doesn't mean you're going to win a national championship every year. Obviously, it's hard. But they are going to be right there in the mix year after year after year, because it's not like he's going out and getting that one player that was a first pick in the draft type of guy, and we're going to build everything around him, and then he leaves, and how are you going to replicate that? It's not what he's doing. He's getting guys that, you know, that could, you could plug in a lot of different programs as role players, some of these guys. He gets them to max out who they are collectively, and that's why I don't think they're going away anytime soon. But I think it's now Danny Hurley. When you think UConn, you're going to think of him, because it's fresh in your memory.
We got about 15 seconds. The number one storyline the last week of the NBA season is what for you?
Number one storyline is, can anybody convince us that they can narrow the gap with the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference particularly? Can anybody really challenge them? Because it looks like it might be a foregone conclusion, right, that they're going to be in the finals. Let's see what happens with Philly. Can Milwaukee get their act together late? To me, that's what I'm watching for, because otherwise, let's just put Boston in the finals now and let's see who comes out of the West.
Wow. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. You'll see him on Get Up and First Take, and of course, America's analyst here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we've got all the
small things
next on Sportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for all the small things here on Unsportsmanlike. I'm Michelle Smallman alongside Evan Cohen and Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. And I have a bone to pick with the two of you. Neither one of you watched the eclipse yesterday. This was a huge moment that everyone was collectively watching together.
Well,
and neither one of you guys watched it.
Can I defend myself? I didn't watch the sun. I looked out my window. So I saw that it was almost like you were looking through like a tinted glass in a car is what it felt like to me. But I didn't have the glasses, which is a bad job. I didn't have the
glasses either, and I thought about it. I was going to risk it all and just look up at it really quickly just to see if I could see anything. But obviously, I wouldn't have been able to because I didn't have the special glasses. All I would have saw was a big, bright light in the sky. So, yeah, I'm disappointed I didn't see it either. And here's the thing. I was hoping, as I was running around doing my adulting, that there would be a vendor on a New York City street corner that would have the glasses where I could buy them for 10 bucks. That's what I was hoping for. No vendor to be found that was hustling glasses. Plenty of people selling everything from knockoff Gucci scarves to pocketbooks to whatever. But I could not find the damn glasses. So I am as disappointed as you are, Smalls. I got a little FOMO now because I've got to wait 20 years for another opportunity to see it.
Yeah, see, I thought we were going to have all this eclipse conversation today. I, too, did not buy the glasses, but a kind stranger on the street let me borrow theirs so I could see it. But I thought we were going to be able to talk about
this.
So
the strangers on the street are kinder to you than to me.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
you say this word in a fascinating way. You say it like you say esports. You keep saying eclipse. Is it eclipse or eclipse?
I think it's either one.
No, it can't be.
It's kind of like how you say Florida.
How do I say it?
Florida.
I a little draw when you say
I never even realized I say it that way.
Yeah, Florida.
Florida.
We say
it's like
Florida.
F-L-A-W.
Or A-H. Yeah. Florida.
Okay, so ask me. Wait, let me see this.
And it's a D-U-H at the end. Yeah.
It's Florida.
It's Florida.
All right, ask me where I was last week.
Where were you last week?
Florida.
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 I'm saying that incorrectly.
Yes, you're saying Florida.
You say it somewhere.
You got an A in there. I don't know how you have an A in there, but you got an A in there.
That's a good point. There is no A till the end.
We say Florida.
You got an A in the middle of it.
Clearly, you're right. I didn't realize I ever said it that
Florida.
Way.
You say Florida.
All right. What did we see yesterday at around 2 to 3 Eastern time?
So if you had the special glasses on, you could clearly see the sun.
No. What's the word?
Well, since you didn't see it, I was about to give you the play-by-play breakdown of the eclipse.
Oh, well, now you said it differently than
eclipse.
You did.
Eclipse.
No, she said eclipse.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Either way. Okay, well, let's get into some other things, guys. So the Hornets have been granted permission to interview Lindsay Harding. She's the coach of the Stockton Kings for the G League, and they are interviewing her for their vacant head coaching position. She was voted the 2024 G League Coach of the Year. She advanced her team to the Western Conference Finals. She was the number one overall pick, had a great WNBA career. I just think, guys, that after having this explosion of interest in women's basketball, that wouldn't it be just such a sweet cherry on top if the Charlotte Hornets were to hire Lindsay Harding and make her the first woman to be named a head coach of an NBA team? Wouldn't that be just a beautiful crescendo at the end of all of this interest in women and women's basketball?
That'd be awesome. And we oftentimes think of the G League as a breeding ground for the players. We don't necessarily look at it as that for the coaches. So to have that opportunity to be able to elevate for Coach Harden from the G League to the NBA, that would be absolutely awesome.
It's interesting that she would be the first one. I'm not saying she's not great. In my head, I just always assumed it was going to be Becky Hammon.
Me too,
because
yeah.
she was closest to it. And now she's $1 million a year coach in the WNBA, kicking butt, winning two in a row. So she may say, I don't need that. Which, kudos to her if she says that.
Speaking of women in basketball, I just want to give a quick shout out to our studio crew of Elle, Shanae, and Andrea. They were one of the highlights of this entire women's basketball season. We have put together some great crews to cover sports, but I have not had more fun while being more informed than I have been watching these three women together on our women's basketball coverage. I just want to give them a shout out because it felt like they were a huge part of the reason why so many people were loving this run of women's basketball.
They're cool. They know their stuff. They show their personality. They could break down X's and O's, and they could laugh. They could do it all. The three of them, literally, what can't those three do?
They have incredible chemistry. They all have such unique personalities that blend well together. And if you can tell me something new, if I can learn something while also having a good time, I'm coming back for more.
Yeah, I also want to shout out Aaliyah Boston, who was on the pregame broadcast along with Coach Peck. They did a phenomenal job on Sunday being able to cover the whole thing, South Carolina, Iowa. I thought it was an amazing broadcast, obviously anchored by Chene, Andrea, and Elle.
18.7 million viewers, peaked at 24 million. Most watched basketball game since 19, most watched sporting event, non-football, non-Olympics since 2019. Think about that. It outdrew NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, PGA Tour, tennis, and soccer in the United States.
Incredible.
Not soccer worldwide, but soccer in the United States.
Yeah, it's NFL-level numbers when it comes to viewership.
Amazing.
Speaking of big numbers and ESPN coverage, I want to shout out my St. Louis Battlehawks. Caw-caw. They broke the spring football attendance record this past weekend in their game versus the Renegades in St. Louis at the Dome. 40,317
Hello.
People in attendance to watch spring football for the UFL. Caw-caw, caw is the law. St. Louis is the crown jewel of the UFL, and I wanted to shout them out.
Don't tell me that St. Louis won't support pro football.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir on that one.
You want to get her started?
Yeah, of course. It's always
By the way, you didn't say caw-caw right either.
Caw-caw.
There you go. We got to have
you can say it in a variety of ways.
No, we want you to say it caw-caw. That way. There we go. When you were the in-game host, what would you say when you did that for them, right?
Was
caw-caw.
That for,
oh, there you go.
Caw is the law, guys, just so we're clear.
Caw is the law.
Caw is the law.
There it is.
And that number is only going to continue to grow. People love football in
San Jose. So you're saying they're going to eclipse that number?
Eclipse the 40,000.
What if they play at
Florida? That's a lot of fans for a UFL game. 40,000 people.
It was absolutely packed and rowdy. It was crazy.
That is insane.
Caw-caw.
Caw-caw.
Caw is the law, people.
Caw is the law.
Caw is the law. Okay, and to wrap things up, we've talked a lot about John Calipari and his move from Kentucky to Arkansas. Yesterday, he was walking his dog, air quotes, walking his dog, and the local news caught up with him and tried to ask him about his new gig. I think we might have the clip here of Coach Cal out walking his dog.
Caw-caw.
Hey, Coach, you got anything you want to say to your fans or anything?
I'm watching my dog right
now. Anything right now? You want to say anything to your fans right now?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Come on, Paul. Come on.
So for those who are listening and not watching, Paul, Coach Cal's dog, is behind him, but he's pushing a stroller for Paul the dog. So eventually leading us to conclude that Paul the dog is in the stroller at some time now.
But see, doesn't that defeat the purpose of walking the dog?
It does. And CeCe, I know how you feel about dogs and strollers. Does this change the way you view Coach Cal at all?
Maybe slightly. I'm judging him a little bit. I just don't understand it. If you're walking the dog and the dog is not in the stroller, why the hell do you have the stroller? What's the point? So you walk the dog, and I guess you have the dog in the stroller. The dog gets out to do his business, then gets back in the stroller?
It's a pretty smart dog.
That is the laziest dog I've ever heard of. Like, if you're walking the dog, and the dog can walk on his own, like, you're not in a city area, so you're not worried about the dog running into traffic, why the hell do you have the stroller? What's the point of the stroller? I don't understand it.
I don't either, because I saw Paul trailing behind Coach Cal as WKYT went to catch up with him.
I'm over the dog and the stroller business. I'm over it.
On the series finale on Sunday of Curb Your Enthusiasm, they do a whole bit, I'm not ruining anything, where Ted Danson is very conscious of the cameras being on him at all times. That is the most camera being on me consciousness I've ever seen in my life. John Calipari yesterday goes for a walk with a dog in the neighborhood where everyone knows he lives. That is just filmy. Film me as much. That is Kardashian level.
I don't know.
Of attention.
I don't know if I'm going to take it that far. But here's the thing.
Come on.
Why do you have a stroller for the dog?
I don't know.
It has four legs. It's fine. It can walk.
It's a baby dog.
It can
dog.
Run.
Don't you need the dog to get the exercise?
Apparently, it doesn't need to. The dog is not in the stroller.
Yeah, and as you watch the clip, you can see the dog. It's a smaller dog, but I just don't understand why. Take the dog for a walk if you're going to push it.
Exactly,
around.
And he's clearly in a neighborhood where the people have backyards.
There's Paul right there. Very tiny dog.
That looks like a very poor neighborhood.
No, but that's my point, though. Big sidewalks. I mean, there's plenty of space. Like, I don't understand why you have to have the dog in a stroller when you're trying to walk the dog.
We could spend the next hour of the show breaking down that video.
I don't either.
Ridiculous.
There are so many parts of that video that are fascinating.
Also, I love that the dog's name
is Paul. Dumbest thing ever.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, I love human names for dogs.
Oh, come on.
Hello, my dog's name is Frank.
I know, but you know.
Frankie.
Okay, we could go all day on that video. The stroller, the neighborhood, the attention, the name of the dog, the blue shirt. You just quit on Kentucky. You don't wear the blue shirt when you're quitting on Kentucky. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Corbin Burns, Baltimore Orioles.
The Orioles entered 2024 as the defending AL East champions, and their odds to repeat strengthened at the beginning of February when they acquired 2021 NL Cy Young winner Corbin Burns from the Brewers. The Orioles may have the best young core in the major leagues, but had questions about their rotation. The 29-year-old, who will hit free agency after the 2024 season, went 10-8 with a 3.39 ERA and 200 strikeouts in leading the Brewers to the NL Central title last season. And that's not even the best Burns has to offer, as he struck out 234 with a 2.43 ERA in his Cy Young campaign 4 years ago. He joins a Baltimore rotation that will hopefully return last year's ace Kyle Bradish at some point. Bradish had the best ERA in the American League in the second half of last season, but suffered a sprained UCL in his right elbow this spring and will miss the start of the season. So it's up to Burns to carry the top of the rotation of a team with World Series expectations. The lineup is led by catcher Adley Rutschman and reigning AL Rookie of the Year Gunnar Henderson, with a top-of-the-rotation starter in Burns, some of the best young talent around the diamond, and new ownership in Baltimore. The Orioles could be in position to win their first pennant in more than 30 years.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Corbin Burns, the ace of the Orioles staff, brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with. Old faces, new places here. Yankees doing really well in that division. Orioles, obviously, off
to a rougher. We gave it away, our 9-2 record?
Yes.
Okay.
But the biggest story, by the way, in baseball last night, shout out to a guy that is easy to fall in love with, Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds. Two homers last night. One a 450-foot solo shot, the other an inside the parker.
Yeah.
He's electric. He's one of the most fun people to watch in baseball.
Yeah, he rounded the bases in less than 15 seconds.
He's awesome. He's amazing to watch.
So fast.
Unbelievable.
So you were all riled up, both of you, about this John Calipari video, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you something, I think, specifically for CeCe on this that may rile you up more that just came across here? Are you calm right now?
I am.
Do you want to stay calm?
Maybe. I don't know. It's Tuesday. I'm feeling dangerous.
Let's see where this
goes. I woke up feeling a little dangerous.
All right,
Baker. Eclipse energy.
I missed out on it, so maybe I'm feeling a little dangerous.
Yeah. All right, you ready?
I could be like Florida Man.
Florida Man.
You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Rich Cimini, ESPN.com Jets reporter, just tweeted this. Jets owner Woody Johnson, speaking yesterday on Fox News, was asked about Aaron Rodgers and how the QB was considered by RFK Jr. as a potential VP candidate. Quote, he is getting back to football 100%. He never left football. That was a momentary distraction. Maybe like going in the dark room or whatever. But he's back 100%. Great leader. If we can keep him on his feet, which I think we can, it's going to be an exciting start to the season.
Exciting start to the season.
What about the middle and the end?
It was an exciting start to last season.
Oh, when he came out of that tunnel with the American flag?
It was an exciting end on 9/11. It was great. And then it ended four plays later.
It did.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. We keep saying he's a great leader. Where's the evidence of that? Just because they have a lot of optimism in the offseason because he goes to a bunch of sporting events with his teammates? What makes him a great leader? Where's the evidence of him being a great leader? I know he's a great player. In his prime, he was a great player. The four MVPs gave it away. But it hasn't necessarily translated to consistently having team success. That's why he's only been to one Super Bowl. So how is he a great leader?
Also, is he a great leader if he was momentarily distracted by potential political aspirations? And he has to now get back to football? If you're a great leader, aren't you not even considering stuff like that as you're continuing to rehab and come back from an Achilles injury after your team was in a pretty bad space without you? Should you have any momentary distractions?
No, you shouldn't. And he was the one last year, even after he was hurt, saying we got to eliminate all of the distractions that have nothing to do with winning football games. That's what he said while he was hurt. While he was doing one of his many media obligations throughout the course of last season,
which was
highlighted by the Pat McAfee show.
They're not obligations, they're choices. The team is not requiring him to do that. He's electing to do that on his own, which I think is an important distinction.
Why are you sitting here?
I'm putting my head back, I put my feet up. Because I knew what was going to happen. There was nothing I needed to do. I did my job. I read the quote.
It's ridiculous, though. Isn't it ridiculous?
Well,
what Woody Johnson is saying is utterly ridiculous.
The doubling down on the leadership thing is weird to me.
That is weird to me. And we have no evidence of that throughout the course of his career. And everybody wants to point to, well, MVS said he's the best teammate he's ever had, or all of these guys that have played with him love him. You know why those guys are saying all those glowing things about Rodgers? Because he can help get him a job. Because that's what Aaron Rodgers does. Whenever he goes someplace, he's like, you know what? I want to have my friends around. Let me bring over Randall Cobb, who can't play dead. Let me bring over Alan Lazard, who was a healthy scratch after getting paid $11 million a year in free agency. Let me bring over Nathaniel Hackett, who can't coach his way out of a paper bag. Let me bring over Billy Turner, who's a turnstile at offensive tackle. Like, let me just bring over all of these guys that make me feel comfortable.
Tim Boyle?
Yeah, Tim Boyle. Do we need to see any more Tim Boyle? My gosh. I mean, he's bringing in all of these people. Just because they love him, does that mean that Aaron Rodgers is a great leader? No. If he's a great leader, where the hell was he leading him to? Like, that's the part. Like, he's a great leader. Where the hell were the Jets going? Like, there were plenty of teams that survived injuries to their starting quarterback last year and finished the season with a winning record. Hell, the Cleveland Browns had how many different starting quarterbacks? Four?
Five.
And five different quarterbacks, including calling Joe Flacco off the couch?
Mm-hmm.
And look what that was. And then Bengals? I said, well, you know, maybe the Jets could have went down the road of seeing whether or not Joe Flacco would have been any good. And people say, well, no, you know, Joe Flacco was bad with the Jets. No, maybe Joe Flacco's not bad. Maybe the Jets offensive coordinators, maybe the Jets personnel was bad, which wouldn't allow Joe Flacco to have success. Because we've seen him in Cleveland at this stage in his career play well. So well that the organization didn't want to bring him back because he could threaten Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand it. But you know what? When you get into bed with Aaron Rodgers, every subsequent decision that you make is an extension of Rodgers' ego. And that's why I'm not optimistic about what the Jets can be in 2024.
You know what's funny about your reaction to all of this? You just fairly reacted to all of it. And the one line that's going around is one you didn't even bring up. Kimberly A. Martin tweeted, like going in the dark room or whatever. That's what Woody Johnson said about Rodgers. He's getting back to football 100%. He never left football. That was a momentary distraction. Maybe like going in the dark room or whatever. Is that the cave he's talking about?
When he had to go into the darkness to decide whether or not he even wanted to play football again.
That is Woody Johnson, the owner of Jets, saying, boy, this guy's weird.
Is this your king? Like, I'm asking Jets fans, is this your king?
Like, I think it has to be.
Guy, like, this is the guy that you're supposed to have the utmost belief can help your team end the longest playoff drought in North American team sports?
Sounds like. I don't see them on our UConn, Alabama, Patriots, or Lakers list anytime soon.
Jets are a clown show. They just are.
But the fans have to believe in him. What other choice do they have?
No, I'm not saying that you don't give it a chance, but to not have a contingency beyond Tyrod Taylor, like Tyrod Taylor is the guy that, you know, we're going to break glass in case of emergency. To not have a better plan behind Aaron Rodgers, who's a quarterback going into his age 40 season coming off an Achilles injury, is utterly ridiculous. And that's why it's like they're not only doubling down, they're tripling down on this Rodgers thing. And it just doesn't make sense given the state of his career, his age, and then what we've seen in the twilight, especially that last year in Green Bay.
Coming up, back to back, UConn does it again. We'll get to that next. Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.